So welcome everyone to ECCC. We thank you for joining our English worship today. Today we are very pleased to have a guest speaker, Pastor Dave Haney from Hoboken Evangelical Free Church. So you just give him a warm welcome with us. That'd be great. Thank you, Pastor Dave.
Pleasure to be here. My wife thinks that you should shut the doors because supposedly I'm loud. I don't know. If you feel needed, it's fine. it's a pleasure to be here, an honor to be here. We serve at Hoboken Free Church in Hoboken, New Jersey, and we've been there almost 7 years now. We've been in the process of replanting and restarting a church there over the last 7 years. And as many of you know, COVID throws a monkey wrench into a lot of things, and threw a monkey wrench into our transition and replant. But God is moving, and he's doing some amazing things in our community and through our church. And so it's just been really cool to see. This morning, we read already Romans 12, 1 and 2, but I want to dive in and talk about what it means to be a living sacrifice, right? But there's a lot of things in our world that don't make sense, right, when we think about them. I don't know about you, but I think about these things often. I don't know why I think about them often, but I do. And they're just crazy things, like, why is a building called a building when it's already built? Like, this doesn't make sense. Why does Hawaii have an interstate? Right? Like, an interstate connects two states. Like, who built that interstate from California to Hawaii? I don't think anybody has yet. Some of the other ones that I thought about, like, maybe when you think about when you were a little bit younger and you watched cartoons, like, the sun in cartoons always has sunglasses on. Like, why? What's he protecting his eyes from? Right? You have Donald Duck, right? Donald Duck never wears pants except for when he goes into a swimming pool. Or when he gets out of the shower, he wraps a towel around himself. Like, it just doesn't make sense, right? I think my favorite one is, and we just had pizza the other night, so it reminded me of it again. We put a round pizza inside of a square box and we eat it in triangles. Like, there's a lot of things in our world that, and things that we do or say that just don't make sense. And I think when we come to this passage, when we read it at first glance and we look at it, it doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Paul is saying a living sacrifice. He's calling us to be a living sacrifice. And it does, like I said, at the surface, it doesn't make a lot of sense, right? It's, well, how can we be a living sacrifice when a sacrifice is something that is dead? And so... what I want to do this morning is kind of just talk through what it means to be a living sacrifice and the truth that Paul packs into these two small verses here and what it means. And the first thing that I think we can see from this is that we need to say no to the world, right? Paul is telling us to be a living sacrifice and to not be conformed, in verse 2, to not be conformed to this world. So we have to say no to the patterns of this world, right? And I think a lot of us, we have patterns in our lives, don't we? Right. My patterns in my life have been totally, totally switched up. Right. My pattern up until this past summer was I would get up super early. I would go to a place called Cycle Bar and I would ride a stationary bike inside of a room with the lights off and somebody yelling at me and loud music blaring in my ears. Right. And I thought that was awesome. And I still think it's awesome. I just don't haven't gone in a long time. But I go there. I used to go there every morning. So I get up super early. Go to Cycle Bar for an hour, come home, and then my day would start. I would start drinking a ton of coffee, get the girls off to school, and then get into the office and start working. And 9 times out of 10, I would say, well, I don't really have time for breakfast, so I would skip breakfast. And then it would come time for lunch, and I would skip lunch. And this was that was part of my unhealthy rhythm. But we all have these rhythms, right, of our life and our day and how they're supposed to go. Right? My new rhythm is I have no clue what it is. I'm just going to be honest. The girls have switched schools. Bella's in high school now. Lizzie's going to a different school that's 40 minutes from our house. And so carpooling and changing that and then just the busyness of life. I said this to somebody the other day. I realized everybody keeps saying, well, how's it going? I'm like, I'm super busy. I'm really busy. And then I realized, no, I'm not busy anymore. This is just like the norm now. Like the crazy busyness that is my life is now the norm. And so it's a new rhythm for me. And so finding that rhythm, we all have these either healthy rhythms or unhealthy rhythms in our lives. And we have to find the healthy rhythm. And Paul is calling us to not be conformed to this world, because this world has rhythms that it wants us to follow. These unhealthy rhythms that it wants us to follow. And for a lot of us, those unhealthy rhythms are dictated by culture, right? Culture tells us, and it could be the culture that we grew up in, or the culture that we went to school in, or the culture that we find ourselves in now in our workplace, of work is the utmost importance, right? Work, 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 work. Get up in the morning, go to work. Work until you go to sleep, or if you have the mentality that I have sometimes, I'll sleep when I'm dead and it'll be okay. Like, you know, you can just work and work and work, right? Or I think some of the cultural change nowadays is work really hard for a short amount of time and then play really hard for another amount of time, and then you can go to bed, right? And so your day is filled with either you're working crazy and then you work, and then you go play really hard, and then you might crash for a little while. And it's this unhealthy rhythm that the world tells us, because the unhealthy rhythm of the world is saying, well, if you don't succeed in your work, if you don't succeed in your company, if you don't succeed in your personal life, if you don't succeed in all these different ways, then, yeah, you're not a success. And what Paul's saying is, don't conform to that standard. Don't conform to that part of the world, because the world will tell us and draw us away from the... And we want to copy the behaviors and the customs of the world. And Paul is saying, don't copy those. Move away from them, right? And what God is calling us to, what Paul is calling us to, is to mirror God in his ways. He's calling us to mirror who Christ is and how he lives his life and his focus. And our focus needs to be on him. And I think for a lot of us, we either mirror the world or we mirror God in his ways. We struggle to figure out which one we should do at many times. And again, it's because of the pressures that we have in the world, right? Whether it's our parents, our friends, our spouse, our kids, like there's all these, you know, there's our bosses, there's all these different pressures that come in and they say, look, this is what you have to do. You have to do this, this, and this. You know, I look at where we are at Hope Book and Free, and again, I think God is doing an amazing work in our church and in our community, and it's been awesome to watch God grow our community and see him. Like, it has nothing to do with me. Like, it really doesn't. Like, I tell people this all the time. It really has nothing to do with me. You could pull me out and plug somebody else in, and it would be just as good, if not better, than what's going on right now. But it's because it's God doing it. But, like, the pressure on me has always been, I look at, like, if I want to be conformed to this world and I want to measure my success, it's measured by, you know, how many people are in our church on a Sunday morning. According to the world, and according to church standards, it's how many people, right? It's the three B's of all churches, right? It's butts, budget, and buildings. Right? Those are the three B's, that the metrics of what churches are governed by and whether or not you're success. And so you have to conform to that, right? As a pastor, and you're like, well, I don't have enough people sitting in my Sunday service. I don't have enough people. I don't have a big enough budget, or I don't have enough buildings, or I don't have a big enough building. Right? And so it's very easy for me to get conformed into that. Or I look at friends and compare myself to guys that I graduated college with who have ministries that are way bigger than mine, who are doing way more than I'm doing right now, according to those three metrics. Right? And so it's easy to conform myself and say, oh, well, then I should change what I'm doing. Maybe I need to work harder. I need to do this more. I need to you know, change how I do this or change how I do that. And what God is saying is, stop looking at those things and just look to me. Paul is saying, don't conform to the world and what it says is success. Let's look at what Jesus says is success and transform to become more like him. And so we either are going to mirror the world and his ways, or we're going to mirror God and his ways. And I remember early on in our time at Hope Book and Free, when we were, you know, we grew for a little while and then we shrunk. And then we kind of stayed stagnant for a long time. And I remember just going, okay, what else do I need to do? What else do I need to do? What else do I need to do? Like, I was just going by the world standards and metrics, and how do I strive harder and work harder? And I said to Becky, I said, I don't know what else I need to do. And she goes, you need to stop and just pray. Stop striving and pray. And I said, that's great. I'll do that. But what else do I need to do? And she's like, no, just stop and pray. And then we did. And we stopped. And I forced myself to not go by the standards of the world and say, okay, God, what do you have for me? And how can we, what do I need, you know, what do I need to change in myself to become what you want and what you need in this place? And so I prayed, and you know, God has answered those prayers. Like I said, you know, I'm not going to say that we went from like 20 people to 200 overnight, but and we're not even at 200. But God started to move, and He changed my heart and transformed me as I changed my focus and changed the patterns of what we were doing. So I stopped striving and just started praying and letting God do the work. And so what that is, it leads us to the second point that Paul wants us to do, is to say yes to the way. Right? Jesus desires that we live a life that is constantly seeking to grow spiritually. Right? That's all Jesus asks for us, is to grow in discipleship with Him and then lead others in that discipleship. Right? His greatest command to us, right, the great commission to go and to make disciples and to raise them up into the world and baptize them and help them walk with Him. Right? And so it's not a thing where, you know, we have to do some crazy stuff, but to constantly just be seeking to grow spiritually with Him and walk alongside somebody else who's spiritually growing to walk with Jesus, right? I think a lot of times when we think about discipleship, we look at it this way, like if I'm going to disciple somebody, if they're there, right, I'll stand in front of them and be like, okay, so Jesus is over there, right? So this is how you get over to Jesus, and I stand, and it's an interaction here, right? And then, like, that's great, but now all they're doing is they're getting Dave Haney's version of how to follow Jesus, right? Instead, when we are to disciple somebody, we come alongside them and say, hey, there's Jesus over there. Let's walk towards Jesus together, right? And so that's what Jesus is calling us to do, is to surrender to Him and desire to constantly seek to grow spiritually with Him, right? But to do that, we need to be spiritually fed every day. I had a plant in my office. It has since gone away. I had this thing. It's like I bought it at IKEA, one of those little bonsai trees they have at IKEA, right? Becky would come up to my office. She's like, Dave, that thing's dying. It's not dead. Not dying. It's fine. But I was horrible at watering that thing. Like, horrible. Because I would walk in my office and see a couple of leaves on the... And I'm like, oh, I should probably water that. The last time I watered it was probably 3 weeks ago. Right? And so I'd give it a little bit of water. But then I would look at my... I have a new one now because that one died. It's gone. She was right. It was dead. So it's gone. We have a new one. This one's much easier to take care of. I just have to give it 8 ice cubes a week. Now, the key is for me to remember to give it 8 ice cubes a week. So there's been a few times where it's like 3 or 4 days later, and I'm sitting there and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, ice cubes. And then I'll send somebody to get me ice cubes from the house. But I would sit there and I would look at this plant and I'd be like, oh, it needs water, but I didn't have any water in my office. So I look around at my desk and I drink a lot of like polar sparkling waters. So I was like, oh, I should give it... No, I can't give it that. That probably won't happen. The only other thing I really drink is coffee. And then I'm like, I can't give it coffee. So what do I do? And then I have to get up and not be lazy and go get some water. But just like that plant needs water and not juice or soda or sparkling water, we need to be fed and filled and watered with the gospel and with the word of God on a daily basis. And that's what God is calling us to. That's what Jesus is calling us to constantly seek to grow spiritually, right? And so are we spending that time saying yes to Jesus every day? Are we spending that time letting Jesus come and speak to us by going into His Word? At Hoboken Free, we call it being stirred by Scripture. We want to be stirred by Scripture every day, right? To dive into God's Word and to read it and study it and meditate on it. We allow it to penetrate our hearts and our minds to then stir us on to action for Him. And that is a watering that constantly needs to happen in our lives, right? And so Paul is also, he's concerned here in verse 2 with how we think, right? The thought process is important, right? Spending time with the Word of God gives us the right types of processes, right? So we not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind, so that by testing we may discern what the will of God is. So that when we spend time with God, as we're spiritually seeking to grow with God, as we're spiritually walking with God, then we start to learn God and learn His standards and His expectations and His teachings. And when we come to a decision, we can say, okay, does that match with what God would want? Does that match with God's word? Does that allow me then to speak into someone's life? Like, you know, I also work part-time at the Gravity Vault in Hoboken. And so I get the chance. It used to be, I'm now like a shift lead, so I sit more behind the desk. I don't really get to talk to the customers as often as I like. But I get to talk to them every now and then. But now, I have a captive audience at times with the people I work with. And they'll ask me questions because they know that I'm a pastor. So they'll bring stuff up and they'll ask me questions. Or they'll say something and I'll sit back and go, that's not right. Like there's one guy, I love him, he's great, but he's got this warped view of scripture. And he'll say stuff and I'm like, Josh, no. And I'm like, well, what it really says is this. But if I don't spend time in God's word, if I don't spend time growing and being spiritually fed by Jesus every day, I wouldn't know that what Josh is saying is wrong, right? Throw away my Bible degree. Without that, like, if I didn't spend time, you don't have to have a Bible degree to know those things. You can spend time with God and His word, right? And you can discern what people are saying. And you can say, wait, no, that's not right. That's not what Scripture says. This is what Scripture says. And this is how I should live my life. When you get advice from somebody. So it's the thought process is important and how we spend time, right? And like I said before, we can't just be watered once in a while, right? Psalm 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night, right? And I think when we look back at David in the Old Testament, David was a walking and talking example of the importance of meditating on God's word. Right? Not that David didn't mess up, not that he lived a perfect life, but he was a man after God's own heart. Right? And he constantly spent time with God. Constantly spent time in his word and with him, praying to him and talking to him and hearing from him. Right? So that God's desires would be his desires, and he wanted to live that out. And I think that's true of us as well. If we constantly, on a daily basis, are being fed by God's word and pouring out, having God's word poured into us, that's what will flow out of us then. And we have the opportunity then to go and share that with the world. It can't happen once in a while. I can't just jump into God's word once every 3 weeks and think that that's going to be enough for me. Right? There's moments in my life where I can look back on times in my life where I struggled or I wasn't close to the Lord or I had issues and really hardships in our family and in my personal life, and I can pretty much guarantee that every single one of those were a time where I wasn't my words got a little jumbled in my head. But it was a time where my healthy rhythm was off. It was a time where my time with God was off. Where I could look at it and go, you know what? That time in my life, I probably spent one or two times in God's word over a 3-month period. Or no time at all. Right? And so when we spend time in God's word, when we do that. And look, I'm not saying that you have to wake up every morning and first thing in the morning, roll out of your bed, crack open your Bible and be like, okay, God, what do you have for me? Because listen, if you're anything like me, if I do that at first thing in the morning, I'm not getting anything out of that. I need to have 3 cups of coffee, right? Wake up, and then I can dive into God's word, right? Because my brain is not functioning yet, right? I need to wake up. And then I can hear from God. For some, it's at night, right? Mornings aren't great for you, but maybe it's nighttime. But have you set aside a time in your day that is devoted solely to spending time with Jesus? At Hoboken Free, we call it spending time on a park bench, right? If you I love getting to know people by hanging out on a park bench with them. We'll go to the coffee shop, grab a cup of coffee, walk to a park, sit on a bench. And it's an opportunity for me to talk and to learn and to know them and for them to get to know our church or me or be able to help share Jesus with them. But then, do I do that with God? Do I spend time on a park bench with Jesus every day? And so where is that time for you in your day where you can spend time with Jesus on a daily basis, right? Because a living sacrifice, if we get back to this living sacrifice idea, it requires commitment from us. Right? The being a living sacrifice requires a commitment, right? Because the problem, you've heard this, you might have heard this said before, but the problem with the living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar, right? So we have to crawl back on to that altar. I had a bunch of friends of mine, in my images, this is how I want to keep myself on the altar. I had a bunch of buddies of mine in college. They were really wild dudes. There was a Wisconsin wilderness campus that was associated with our school, and so they would go work at this camp. But they would come back, and these are like crazy outdoorsmen kind of guys, right? Well, one night they weren't at the dorm, and I was like, "Where'd you guys go?" And they're like, "Oh, we slept on a billboard last night." I'm like, "You did what?" And they would drive down 95 towards Philly and climb up onto a billboard, and you know, the platform that the workers stand on. They put their sleeping bags out, lay down, and then bungee cord themselves to the platform and sleep there overnight. I'm like, you guys are nuts. Like, why would you do that? And so to me, so crazy story, but the image in my head is, if I want to stay a living sacrifice, how do I bungee cord myself to the altar to stay being a living sacrifice to God? And for me, to me, it says that we have to make a commitment to spend time with Jesus on a regular basis. How do we spend and commit to having that time with Jesus on a daily basis? So for some of us, that means we have to put it in our calendar, right? To block off that time and say, this is my time for Jesus. I'm not meeting with anybody else. I'm not doing anything else. You know, my coffee, my lunch break, my coffee break at work, that's going to be my time where I just get away and I'm going to spend time with Jesus. Or at night, or in the morning, or whatever it is for you. But then when we do that, when we start to follow Jesus and we start to become this living sacrifice and we commit to it, we have to discern our purpose in being a living sacrifice. And I think for a lot of us, we spend a lot of time in our lives tirelessly searching for purpose in life. What is my purpose? Is my purpose to be a good husband or wife? Is my purpose to be a good mom or dad? Is my purpose to be a good son or daughter? To be a good employee? To be a good friend? What is my purpose in life? And we spend so much time trying to figure out what that is. And we think that we can find it in the things of the world, but it can't be found in the things of the world. If I'm a good employee, great. But that doesn't help me in the long run. Those things disappear. Even if I'm a good friend, you know, I've had friends. You may have had this happen. But I thought I was a good friend. And then I got ghosted by friends, you know, and you know, those things disappear. Our health disappears. Our livelihood, our jobs disappear. If we've learned one thing through COVID, that's not a guarantee. Especially our health and our jobs can disappear in a heartbeat. Our finances, everything. So we try to find these purposes in our lives, in the world, but they can disappear in a heartbeat. And so what Christ is the only one that can give us meaning and purpose in our lives. And so when we search for our purpose, we should be searching in Jesus to find our purpose. And I think for many of us, and Jesus calls us to do these things. He calls us to be employees and husbands and fathers and mothers and wives and brothers and sisters, all these things. He calls us to do those things. Calls you to work in a certain company. Yes, but there is a greater call on our lives that we have in us and that we need to start walking towards, and that is to become a disciple maker for Him. To be on mission for God every day of our lives. And that's what Paul is talking about here. To be a living sacrifice and to live out our spiritual worship, right? And to live out this transformation of us by Jesus and by His work in our lives. And so that's the purpose that we are called to do, right? And so what does it look like to live a surrendered life to Jesus? To live out this missional life for Jesus? You know, for us in Hoboken, for me in Hoboken, it means at Gravity Ball, how am I interacting with my coworkers? How am I sharing Jesus with my coworkers, right? How am I interacting with my neighbors next to my house, right? In Hoboken, I'm sure you all know Hoboken, right? It's this one square mile with 60,000 people shoved into it, and we're all living on top of each other, and you're tripping over everybody all the time, right? So we talk about it this way, like how can I be a missionary? How can I be a disciple maker and an example of Jesus to the people who live above me, below me, beside me, the people I ride to work with on the train or the bus, the people I work next to, in the cubicle next to me, right? Our people meet at the dog park, the people that I meet at Gravity Bowl, the people that like I walk by on the street every day, right? And so in your context, who are those people that you see all over and around, that you walk by every day, that you work next to, that you can share the love of Jesus with, that you can be a missionary to, right? Being called to God and having a calling in your life from God doesn't mean that you have to go to Bible college and become a pastor. That doesn't mean that you have to become a missionary and go somewhere all over the world, right? And you know, the traditional things that everybody says, go live in a grass hut or live in an igloo. Like, I'll take the grass hut over the igloo any day in my life. I don't want to go anywhere cold. God and I have had conversations about that. But that's not what it is. To be a missionary just means to lead living out our lives for him, where he's planted us. And he's planted you here in New Jersey. And so how can you be a missionary here in New Jersey? For me, how can I be a missionary in Hoboken, New Jersey to the people that I come in contact with every day? By loving them, by showing them Jesus. And so, you know, are we surrendered to Jesus in a way that his calling on us helps us to live that out every day? Because the truth is, we're all surrendered to something. If it's not Jesus, it's either our jobs, our family, or something else, the approval of someone. These are all things that we surrender ourselves to rather than Jesus. And Jesus is calling us to surrender ourselves to him. And so we come and we live out that missional life. And so what does it look like? Again, to live out a missional life with Jesus and for Jesus is for me to just have coffee on a park bench with somebody. You know, since COVID has been released more and we're feeling more comfortable with things, our family has been, like, we were super careful for the longest time because our youngest is in the high risk category, and then over the summer we all got COVID, and the one that we were protecting from COVID is the one who got it and gave it to all of us. So go figure that one out. But now that that's been released, so how do we live missionally? Becky and I have opened our home up again. We have people over all the time now, right? And to hang out with us and to talk with us, and so that I can share life with them, and we can share life with them, and they can share their life with us. At Hope Open Free, we talk about it as struggling well with life together. We do life together, right? And it's not just people in our church. We want to invite our neighbors over, people that we, you know, that don't go to our church. That's who I want to have over. Why? Because then I can share life with them and I can do life with them. I can, you know, the guys at Gravity Vault that I work with, hey, come on over, let's hang out at the fire pit. Like, and just hang out and talk. Do life together and share life. And that's how we are a missionary for Jesus. And so how do we live out that mission? Because the work of God as a missionary, as being somebody who's called by Jesus to be a disciple maker of Jesus, is to be a missionary for Jesus. Right? And too often in the church nowadays, we expect the people that we invite to church to be the missionary. Right? You come and learn our culture. You come and learn how we do church. You come and... No. Why? Think about it. Like, even for me, coming here, right? This is my first time in a Chinese-American church. Right? Which has been awesome. It's just so cool. Like, I love sitting down there and hearing the worship songs, and then hearing them in Chinese. It was really cool to hear, right? But, like, I'm texting Tammy, and I'm like, what do I wear, right? And I'm a pastor, for crying out loud. I don't wear this on a Sunday normally. I'm usually in jeans and a button-down shirt. Sleeves are rolled up, my tattoos are hanging out. And it's just craziness. But sometimes it's T-shirts. Like, we're really laid back. But anyway, we had a guy at church last Sunday, and same thing. He was invited by somebody in our church, and the guy's texting him, all right, what time do I need to be there? What do I wear? And then he walked in, and I got to talk to him, and he goes, I didn't know there was going to be music. Right? You're walking into a foreign environment. It'd be like me being invited to mosque. I would have no clue what to wear, how to act, or when to sit down, when to stand up, when to kneel. Well, you know, do I raise my hands? Don't I raise? Like, I don't know, right? Like, we expect the people we invite to church to do the missionary work and figure us out. God's saying, no, we need to go and do the missionary work. We need to step out of our comfort zone of church and go into the culture. Not change the message of what we're bringing, but change the delivery system of what we're bringing. And step into culture and say, hey, listen, this is what God's word says. All right, let's just talk about it. This is what God has helped me to learn in that situation. And we learn their culture. And we learn where they're at. And then slowly, they learn about ours. And they start to come in. And it's not as big of a shock when they walk in to a church service, if they ever step foot in a church, which that's on God, not on you, right? So it is great pressure to be released from you. And so that's what it means to be on mission and to live a missional, living, sacrificial life for Jesus. To live that out every day of our lives. And so I'll just close with this. I'm not a huge fan of the Message Bible. If you are, not knocking you in any way, but I'm just not a fan of it. But I think Peterson does a great job of paraphrasing different parts of Scripture, right? If you look at it as just a paraphrase, cool. But I think he does an amazing job here in Romans 12 of paraphrasing Romans 12:1 of how to get us to kind of change our thinking of what it means to live out being a living sacrifice for God. And so this is what he says. He says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. And so this morning, our challenge for you, for me, for all of us, is how do we do that? How do we start living it? How do we look at our lives and say, okay, now, what do I do to do that with the people that are in my life? How do I invite them onto the park bench? How do I sit down and have coffee with them and share through my sleeping, my eating, my going to work, my walking around life, and I place it before God and say, okay, God, here, what do you want me to do with this? Who do you want me to speak to? And how do I speak to them? And He'll tell you. He has always told me, He's always shown me, and He will show you. And so that's what Jesus is calling us to do. And I think that's a challenge that we all have for our lives. And so this is my challenge for you guys this morning, is to just go and to live a missional life, a living sacrificial life for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just again, thank you for this morning. And thank you for this time here with these wonderful people and the opportunity and the privilege it is to be here. Lord, I pray for them as they are seeking to grow this community. I pray, Lord, that you would work in them and through them to reach and impact their community. Lord, that you would help them to say no to the world and the world's customs and behaviors, and yes to you. That they would discern their purpose from you, their calling from you, who they're called to, and how they can live that out in their lives. Lord, help us to do that every day, to see to whom you're sending us and how we can go and meet them where they are, and share your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, again, we thank you for you and your love for us. And we thank you again for this time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.